Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chisa Life podcast. My name is Griselda Gekana, and this week, in honor of all the great Imbokodos all over South Africa and in the world, we are having a conversation with a powerhouse of a woman, author and actress Ayanda Borotho, who plays Phumelele on Isibaya and has written the unbelievably riveting book, Unbecoming to Become.
Yes, Umzanzi Celebville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Jonga yongi into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Your journey has inspired so many women since you started to unbecome to become. Did you imagine that it would be this way, that you would spark these conversations and so many women would, you know, start looking back into their lives and just reflecting like you did?
Are we talking about Ayanda or are we talking about Phumelele?
Oh, we're talking about Ayanda. But I think Ayanda was inspired by Phumelele's journey in some way, or Phumelele was inspired by Ayanda. So we can talk about the two, but I'd like to start first about Ayanda.
I honestly didn't know that it would spark this kind of movement. I knew that there were many women who felt the way I felt, that who had walked the journey I had walked. But I didn't realize that taking the shackles off from me and taking off the coat and the titles and everything that it took away from who I genuinely was would... I didn't think that journey for me, as it unfolded, it would inspire so many women. I never thought I'd find myself in the situation that I'm in now, in the place that I'm in now. Mm. It really was just me speaking my truth about what I saw in society. But I also didn't think, you know, women were ready to have these kind of conversations, which is why I didn't think it would catch as much fire as it did. But also, I didn't do it because I deliberately set out to challenge the status quo. I did it because I was just living my truth and honestly questioning from a place of authenticity and saying, but is this really how life is supposed to be for women? And I think it was that honesty and that truth, that the raw authenticity of the conversations, of the words, in how I presented the argument of myself, it was the rawness of it that I think was
because so much.
Yes, because I think what I'm saying is not necessarily new, right? It's not we've been talking about issues that oppress women in our society, whether it's around culture, whether it's around politics, whether it's around just societal norms, or what we speak about these things, but I think we haven't spoken about them from a place of truth. I think we speak and pacify. But I think
and go around it sometimes instead of addressing the real root of
the real issue, the real root of it. So I think it was the truth in which I presented the argument that really made women resonate. But no, certainly to answer your question, I never thought it would become a movement, put it that way.
I've also been shocked, like you saying, to realize that, you know, we are actually, as women, ready to have these conversations. Yes, there's a bit of hesitance here and there, but I was pleasantly surprised to see the reception of, you know, your journey and the conversations it's sparking. And I've listened to a lot of your interviews and read up on your interviews where you've spoken about where it began for you, when you felt like you had lost yourself, you had become everything for everyone, but not Ayanda for Ayanda. But I want to ask, in how you presented your journey, you know, back to self, because you are right when you say that it was the way that you did it that kind of, you know, made it raw and made it so relatable for other women. What gave you the bravery or the courage rather to go about it the way that you did, because you could have chosen to tell the story in a very safe way. You could have chosen to tell your story in the way that others have, in a very tailored way, in a very kind of covered way, in a sugar-coated way. What gave you the courage to go about it the way that you did, when you knew that maybe you didn't even know at the time, but that the way you would put it would question things that we've become so comfortable in calling the norm?
You know, I always talk about unbecoming to become as a divine concept, as a divine ideology, that it didn't come from me.
Mm.
And I think what maybe, I can't say what gave me the courage, but I know that in my conversations with God, one of the things that we agreed upon was that if we're going to do this, we're not going to do it half-heartedly. We're not going to sugarcoat anything. We're going to go out in truth.
Mm.
Because I've come to understand that truth is liberating. And it is because I think that gave me the courage, is that my truth was liberating for me. And I no longer felt the shackles from of the lies and, you know, the norms that were not necessarily really normal. And I think that is what gave me the courage, knowing that what I was speaking of was my truth and nobody can deny my truth.
I totally get that. I get that. And then there's Phumelele. You've played her with such grace, from the woman that she was to the woman that she is becoming. I don't know if it's a situation of art imitates life or life imitates art. Where did that, because now that we're seeing it, we can see that there's, you know, in her story, there's a little bit of your story and a little bit of your journey. But do we know that it was her journey that influenced you, or how did that relationship between you and this character kind of work together for who you've become and for what she's become?
You know, Phumelele's unbecoming was mainly a marital unbecoming. It was finding herself outside of her marriage.
Yes, okay.
And that was, I mean, I felt the sense of loss was when I was married and when I had more children. But our journeys are quite different in terms of how they turned out. And, you know, for me, it was about finding me in within the marriage. But
yes.
I wasn't necessarily married to a man who was oppressive. Whereas Phumelele was married to a man who was quite patriarchal,
yes,
in how he sees life. Mm-hmm. In fact, a little bit toxic masculine, if,
yes,
I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest thing for me is that we didn't plan this. And a lot of people think we planned it. We didn't plan this. It was just divine timing.
Yeah.
That, you know, this journey unfolded at the same time as when we were saying, as Ayanda speaking to the executive producers about Phumelele's journey, we were saying, how do we reposition women in this show? Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, Isibaya as a world is a toxic masculine world. And
yes,
we can't deny that.
Mm.
And the trend globally are changing, where women are taking the center stage, that they are playing leading roles, the power is being ascended to them. So how do we change this scenario? We chose, I think in choosing Phumelele, we chose to tell an authentically South African a story, but with global impact, because it's the story of being lost in marriage is true for a lot of women.
It's a universal
and it's a universal one. So I think it really wasn't a planning in any way. The two journeys kind of collided, and I think that can only be divined or divinity designed.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with anything that we planned. But it was because of the conversations we were having around how do we make this a world where women can take back their power, because, you know, the trend and not only changing, but women are not wanting to see a toxic masculine world. GBV is on the rise. We've got to be responsible with our messaging. Yes. Because we have a lot of people watch the show. Mm. And what are we, so what is the message? What are we saying to our people? Are we saying that this is okay? And if we are to challenge it, how do we challenge it? And we chose to challenge a cultural setting, which was just, you know, that just took it to another level.
Mm.
But
no, it definitely did.
It wasn't a planned thing. I think it was a divine timing thing.
I think it is so important. And I was like, literally, I'm thinking to myself, you must be reading my mind, because I was going to say, you know, these journeys that Pumelelo is having, that you have had and you are still having, and now a lot of women in their individual spaces everywhere across the world are starting to have a similar journey, and particularly in our country, that has been pinpointed out a lot by these problematic men who are, you know, kind of joining our journeys now to this rise of gender-based violence. These women are disrespectful. If this woman didn't do that, if this woman... They are trying, you know, in direct and not direct words, to blame the journeys of going back to self for women for the rise of gender-based violence, because they are not used to a world where women is taking her power back. What do we then do? Because in our movement, which is already difficult by itself, to try and break the status quo, to try and break out of these molds that women find themselves in, and now... It's like they're being physically threatened to stop these journeys.
Oh, is it anything that we can do, though, my sweetheart? Is there anything that we can do? I think so much of it is out of our control. We can only do us, and we have to allow men to do them. I think we have taken a lot of responsibility for correcting the ills of society, including that of men, because we've always been told that anything that goes wrong, you just blame on a woman. So we've even taken the responsibility of raising kids on our own and excusing men of the responsibility, or holding them accountable to the responsibility of fatherhood. Mm. We've taken on so much responsibility. We've made that normal, and it's not normal. We've made single parenting normal. It's not normal. Mm. And so I say, you know, even when men talk of, but Nazi, we are broken. I'm saying we are all adults in this thing. If women are taking back their power and their voices, let men take back their power by being responsible. But that's a journey that they have to go on their own. We can't keep dictating. They have to initiate that journey. We can't force men to do it. We can't force men to be the way we would love our men to be. We can only educate them on who they were. And this is, for me, an important point, because I think as we go back to self, maybe what we need to be doing is showing men who they were, because what they are is not who they were, because our men were kings made slaves, and who came and imposed slavery on us. Especially in the African context.
Yeah.
There were men made slaves. There were kings made slaves. Kings who respected and honored and revered their queens. And that was us. Mm-hmm. Now we are in a position where you have been made to bastardize your own identity. You have been made to devalue who you really are. And you've become this monster that you never were. But this is conditioning. This is indoctrination that's been taught to you through colonization. Can we have those conversations about how our men were emasculated and how this brokenness came to be, so that they can understand that actually what they are manifesting is not who they are, but it's not our responsibility to do that. It is the responsibility of the men themselves. I think we take on too much responsibility because the world has made us responsible for so many. In fact, the world has made us responsible for all evil, because I think Eve ate the apple.
Yes.
So we are constantly paying for this this cardinal sin.
Yeah,
we are constantly paying for that. We are constantly paying the price for Eve having chowed the apple and mankind falling. You know, this is how I feel, that it's almost like we can never do right. We will never do right.
Yeah, and whatever we do, they'll always just trace it back.
They'll always be.
Yeah,
they will always be.
I'm with you on the Eve one. I've said this before, I think, like, but guys, Why does it feel like no matter what we do, we cannot break down these things? Because it always just rounds back and comes back to a woman. A woman is blamed. Well, but you gave birth to the man. Yeah, but you taught the man to be this. You're the one that was mothering the man. It always just rounds back to the woman. But yeah, I totally understand when you say that we have taken too much and we've got to focus on our own journeys and they have to take initiative for theirs.
But also, I think I just want to add, you know, it's the same argument when people talk of, yeah, we can blame the men who are doing what they are doing, but who's raising these men? That should not be the question. Who's raising these men is left women because men have left or men have not taken responsibility for fathering. But the question is, where are the fathers? Yeah. We are going to go to how twisted the world is. Instead of asking, but where are the fathers who are supposed to be raising these men to be men, true men? Instead of asking that question, it's the thing you are saying, Uguti. It always goes back to the woman. We are being asked, but you are raising these women, I mean these boys. And we are saying, but wait, hold on. Shouldn't these boys be raised by men?
Mm.
Where are the men? No one's asking that.
A woman is raped and she's asked, what were you wearing? What were you doing? What did you say?
Exactly.
And not...
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. I totally, like, get that. I feel like we need a male version of Ayanda somewhere to push that conversation because at the moment, I'm seeing a little bit here and there, but I'm not... And maybe it's because I'm not a man then, but I'm not feeling the urgency for them to want to have this conversation. But like you said, that's not really anything that we can do about that. Thank you so much for this conversation. I could have asked about other things, but I felt like I needed to ask you about this thing so that we can put on our platform as, you know, Women's Month in inverted commas is coming and we're going to be having people that are pretending to want to have these conversations, those that want to distort these conversations, those that are not really interested in the conversations but are just having them because they're trending. But we needed to have a voice in there in this. It's going to be an avalanche of let's talk about women, but we needed to have a voice that is really talking about women no matter what time it is.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for giving me the platform.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Have a good one. Bye. You too. Bye.